This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, hope and growth. I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri. We're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in. Kia ora and welcome back to the Hope Centre podcast. We have taken a bit of a hiatus, but back and stronger and ready to go. You might be noticing a bit of a difference as well. It's only a much nicer voice to hear to start this podcast with Anna. Unfortunately, Anna is unable to make it today, but should be back for our next pod. But yeah, we'll guide you on this conversation about healing and lived experience today, but I'm not alone today, and that's the main thing. Today I'm joined by a creative, a Fringe Festival master, and the host of the Thoughts and Theories podcast on ORFM, Asha. Welcome.
Kia ora. Thank you so much. Oh my God, I've never been introduced like that before. You make me sound cooler than I am.
Which, you know, you are very cool. So to get above I feel bad because I remember for the Dunedin market, the old Thieves Alley market, and you're doing a Fringe thing.
I was.
And I didn't realise you were in character, and I just went, oh my gosh, so good to see you. And then you went, hi, and then realised, oh, I'm in character, I can't.
Yeah, I felt so bad as well, because I was like, I really want to say that, hey, I recognise you, and I want to, like, bond, but, like, also, hey, you want to come to this school? Like, you know, I was method acting. I couldn't.
You segued back in so well.
Thank you so much.
And I picked up immediately and thought, nah, great, you crushed that.
Thank you. Thank you.
yeah. So we start our podcasts. Firstly, would you like to introduce yourself and a bit about what you do?
Of course. Hey, guys. My name is Asha Amma Asri, and I'm 21 this year. And I'm in my final year at university. I've been with ORFM for a few years now. I've got my own podcast called Thoughts and Theories, as Omri kindly said. And yeah, you guys should give that a listen. But I mostly just like to talk about movies, art, and I'm just a huge like theatre and movie nerd.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything niche. Just talk to me about anything niche. I love it.
And I will. And the other way we start a podcast is a guest leaves a question for the next guest.
Okay.
And so the question that was left for you was, would you rather have a knee-sized head or a head-sized knee?
That is crazy, by the way. Oh my God, that's very difficult. I think, head-sized knee?
Right answer.
I think, I don't want a small head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody we've talked about this to has said the opposite, including Anna.
Oh, really?
And I'm going, wear pants, you can cover your knees up. I also don't want a small head.
Yeah, no, I feel like as well, you'll be more like capable, like you'll be more at risk of like dying. I don't know. Because somebody could just, in the palm of your hand, just like squish you.
Crush you like a walnut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I have enemies or anything.
Not that they know.
Not that they know anyway.
And this might be completely wrong, but I feel like with head-sized knees, you could get a super jump going.
You know what? You're right. No, I feel like your walk would have more like gravitas to it. You know, it's just like you'll hear me coming, stomping from down the street, like boom, boom, boom.
You'll hear my knees clitter-clackering.
I'm like, oh yeah, that's just Asha and Omri coming up the street right there.
This is those big knee kids. People would be jealous of the group we're a part of.
Yeah. It's exclusive, what can I say?
Yeah. You know? And you know what? Let's keep it exclusive. Unless you also have big knees, and then come join us.
Yeah. Love you for who you are. It does not matter.
Let your freak flag fly.
You said that so smoothly, and I think I want to steal that from now on.
Good.
Let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
The alliteration of that's crazy.
It was I worked at a summer camp in 2019 and 2022, but it was a big thing in 2019, especially about your freak flag. I think probably fresh off The Greatest Showman. Everyone's
talking
about being yourself.
Showman.
Yeah. And we did a recording, and so we caught it. It was on final night. Campers were getting ready to go home. They were going to go home the next day. And we did a big thing where we turned all the lights off in camps. Everything was pitch black. Ooh. And then we just had lit all the staff members run down their light candles, and the kids would walk down in their groups. And throughout the previous week, everyone had been recorded saying one thing they like about camp. Mm-hmm. And mine is just burned into my brain, because it was just juxtapositioned against all the American accents, just mm-hmm. me going, I really appreciate that I get to let my freak flag fly. and it took a few takes because I just kept getting stumbled up on the alliteration. But yeah, it was like all these, I really love this. And then just my nasally high-pitched accent.
God.
Like, oh, there's me.
That sounded like so, like, both cult-like, but also so typical for a camp.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so, I remember when I was in, like, year eight camp or something, or I don't even know, high school or something. Mm. I was a junior, though, and, like, all the lights were turned off, and then all the parents and staff would, like, hunt you down with BB guns, and you would have to hide in the forest. It was the most fun thing. I think, I don't know, it was called, like, Blackout or Spotlight or something.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Also, hella painful.
Yeah, with BB guns. This is the way for adults to go, like, you know, let's just get our aggressions out on the children.
Yeah, why not? They've been annoying us all summer. Yeah. Okay, this is the last night I get to like punish these little squirts.
Yeah. And I think as well, cult vibes holds up.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, is it, okay, well, but here's a real question though. Is it that camps are like cults, or is it cults that are like camps?
Mm.
You know? Who copied who?
Yeah, it's the classic, the camp of the cult egg.
Classic. Yeah. You've heard this before.
We've all heard this before.
It's a classic thing that you see on Reddit all the time.
I would say a cult first. I imagine cults. There've been lots of cults over history. Yeah.
You're right.
And so, yeah, basically, how can we be a less problematic cult?
Yeah. Mm. Like, how does it get watered down as it goes down for, like, kids, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens with a lot of things, like Disney stories.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you, like, lots of the, like, Hans Christian Andersen version compared to the Disney version.
The Grimm Brothers as well.
Yeah. Like, Peter Pan was the bad one.
Yeah.
Wow. And relevant to our podcast. Because, yeah, much of your podcast is about media and books and what people consume and what is important to you with what you consume.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I honestly, I think anything is fine for you to consume as long as you consume it responsibly, right? But if you want to say, like, there should be, like, a balance. On one hand, you should go to the internet or online to consume things that, like, you know, bring you joy, make you laugh, you know, escape the world a little bit, but also don't escape too much. Mm. You know, you don't want to go so deep in the internet you find, like, some weird corner that will turn your head, like, inside out, like, question your existence and reality.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
But also you should be aware, like, of what's going on in your town. Like, oh, like, there's a band playing this Friday. I should probably check it out. So, like, yeah, I think that's what's important.
That way to keep connected or have a distraction, mm-hmm. but not be your be-all and end-all of, I just need to escape from everything all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And exactly as well, because the way algorithms work, we don't want to be stuck in just one hole, you know what I mean? And then without you realizing it, you can, like, totally change your perspective on something.
Yeah. It's scary when you're just consuming one topic for a long time. I think it was been 2021. The only thing I was getting was do you remember the berries and cream meme? I think it was from an ad in, like, the 90s from in America about Skittles or Fruit Bursts or something like that. And then someone posted online in 2021. It just kind of got reimagined, but it was about this, I think it was an adult, but looked like a young Victorian boy.
Oh.
And it was about a new flavor of, again, I can't remember if it was Skittles or Fruit Bursts or something. And he's going, berries and cream, berries.
Yes,
we're back on, yeah.
Classic.
I was just seeing lots of edits on that, of him edited as one of the dinosaurs, as a dinosaur, and then it had the Jurassic Park theme, and he's going, berries and cream.
You did the voice so well.
Thank you. I was able
to, like, recognize it immediately.
I love impressions. I'm not very good at them. But when I find my niche,
It's all about the love of the game. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's how you get good at things.
Yes. Try, people. Don't be scared to fail.
Exactly.
Have bad impressions. So that's the only way you'll get good ones.
Yeah. I mean, you got to fall before you start walking.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. No, I was going to say, you've got to have your camp before you have your college.
Oh, well done. I love that. Classic.
Full circle. But in one of your podcasts, you talked really about loving, it was your podcast about Cats the Musical. You talk about loving hearing people talk about things or passions that they have, and wondering, you know, from my understanding, you had very little to no idea about Cats the Musical.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy about platforming or hearing people share their interests or their passions?
You know, this is actually, I love this question, by the way. Mm. Like, I noticed that to have, like, things that you care about, like, a lot, it can be something quite embarrassing.
Mm.
And especially, like, when you're going to high school, that's such a, like, a, what do you say? Like, there's, like, gunpowder in the air. Like, you don't want to, like, trigger something and then there's an explosion.
Yeah.
You have to be the same. If you stand out, and not because you're talented, if you stand out in some weird way, people look at you.
Mm.
And that's usually if you have interests. Like, if people think that if you have interests and you're not good at whatever that interest is, then what are you trying for? So if I like knitting, how come I'm not an expert knitter?
Mm.
If I like football, how come I don't see you at professional games?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So because of that, people tend to bury that down. Like, I even like long close friends, like I stumble upon their like really like big interest, but they never advertise it. And I always ask, like, why don't you talk about this more? And they're just like, oh, I don't know. But like, I can already see it in their body language. This is something that's been beaten down into them, that like, don't talk about it, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
Because to care about something is to be vulnerable.
Mm.
I guess having a platform for myself, like, I want to give people the opportunity to speak about these things that would, in like, I guess, other environments, there wouldn't be a space for them. Like, for example, Cats the Musical, right? Like, it's great. People can only talk about it for so long if they're not interested in it. But I also love the way people transform when they're talking about something that they like.
Yeah.
Even the most shy person, if talking about something that they love, they will, like, their eyes will light up. You know, the way that they talk, you can hear the smile in their voice, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing is kind of that, you know, it's a privilege in a way for people to really open up and get that childlike ness come out of them of, I could just get to info dump or share, let someone into this world that is so precious and personal to me.
Yes.
And I really liked what you said about, you know, it is a vulnerability, and vulnerability in lots of ways is shown as a weakness, or vulnerability can be shown as obviously something could be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you intentionally do or notice that you do to kind of help make it a safe space where, like, hey, I'm really here and I want to hear your passion?
Basically, yeah, well, it's interesting because obviously when I'm like recording, it's not live or anything. So I always emphasize that, because a lot of the times when I get people on, they're not people who are, you know, used to coming on to speak or like any sort of public speaking. So I'm just like, it's just you and me in the room. You know me, we're good friends.
Mm.
If you say you stop, we'll stop. Like, it literally does not matter to me at all. I'll just miss it this week or I'll make something up.
Yeah.
And I like to pride myself to be someone of like a, like an expert at improvising.
Nice.
So I remember there was this one like guest that I had, there was like a hiccup in the middle of the recording, and they just gave me the sign that I told them to give, like, can we stop the recording? And I did, and we were able to like smoothly get out of like that situation without alerting anybody from like listening, you know?
Yeah.
So as long as I talk to them, keep the communication open, and I'm always like to keep an eye on their like body language. Like, if they're like really small or like they're starting to whisper a little bit, then I know to like steer away from something.
Mm.
But yeah.
And great observation as well. You'd be a great peer supporter.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like often all those things of, you know, when do I think I might have pushed too far or gone too far, and how can I make sure that we are reaffirming this is a safe space to share stuff? Because often it can be when things are said, oh, this is a safe space. It's kind of a flag to go, I don't think this is.
It's the same thing as when corporate goes, we're family here.
Yeah. Here's a pizza party while I get a 20% raise.
Yeah, and you're still with minimum wage.
Yeah. Yeah. But you kind of see how overt you are with it, of kind of carrying people along. Yeah, and when are there any interests that you, someone's shared and you're gone, actually, I can jump on board on that. I want to give that a try.
Multiple times. I think, like, sometimes I, like, relate to something. And even if it's, I think especially if it's, if someone's talking about something personal, I don't consider myself a public figure, but I do say, like, I'm very used to just saying things about myself that to people online that people otherwise wouldn't, like, talk about. Because one person talked about eating disorders, and it was very, very vulnerable. And I was, like, very, like, a few times where things got quieter, things, I was so happy to, like, jump on and, you know, talk about, like, my own experiences of, like, insecurity or things like that. And while my own experience cannot compare, that's not the purpose. It's to say we're all, like, you know, we're all here together. You're not the only one. You're not, like, on a spotlight kind of thing. And, you know, some people talk about, like, for example, cats. I was just like, I need to watch that now, you know? Like, you clearly talk about something so much joy in the way that you're talking. So I'm just like, it's got to be that good, right? Like, if someone's got that much passion. It's like me and Twilight, honestly.
Very good. The books or the movies?
The movies. Though the books I do like to cross compare sometimes.
I love to watch Twilight from the perspective of Bella's dad.
Oh my god, you get it. It's a horror movie.
It's nightmare fuel.
I genuinely love it. I go so deep into the theories and the random, like, POVs of other people. POV, you're Bella's, like, teacher or something like that. And Edward just sniffed Bella's neck. What's going on?
Do I need to separate these kids? I love to, you know, last time I watched Twilight was with my partner, and I was watching it from the perspective of the dad, and I was kind of, like, doing his internal narrating. And I was like, oh, what am I doing? She's a child bride.
Oh my goodness.
I can't stand up to these people. What am I doing?
Can you just imagine as well, though? Sorry, this is a bit off topic. But, like, seeing Bella get married fresh out of high school, I bet he could see his mistakes rewind right in front of him.
100%.
He got married fresh out of high school because Renee got pregnant. Right? Also, Billy Burke, the actor who played Charlie Swan, just did a fantastic job at, like, cleaning the character of Charlie Swan up, because in the books he was kind of a douchebag. Like, he was kind of like a bad father. But Billy Burke did great, so it doesn't matter.
He was a dad that didn't act a lot, but you could see cared. Like, action-wise, could have done more. But it was more of a, again, my wife has died, I don't know what to do. Fantastic performance. But I think the biggest question, and the question on everybody's mind, have you then gone and watched Cats the musical, not the movie?
I actually haven't. I'm really sorry about that. Because I had promised my guest last time, Bianca Roger, we were going to watch it together. But then uni came in the way. This was the most hectic university semester I've ever had. Genuinely probably one of the worst ones I've had. It was just so busy. And we just, like, sort of never got the time to, unfortunately. But I do plan to watch it before the year ends.
Cool. I'm so excited to hear the outcomes. I was listening to this for context. Bianca was a big fan of Cats the musical, specifically I believe it was the West End.
I think so.
Yeah, which is the same as me. I had a VHS of it growing up.
Wow.
And it would be, well, firstly, if we're going right back, when I was 3, I had scarlet fever. And so I was in the hospital for a long time. And this is back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so all the TVs in the pediatrics ward were linked up. So you'd watch the cartoons. And then after the cartoons finished, the kids would go down. They would request what movies or shows they'd want to put on. And then everybody had to watch it because it was all synced. Because I was in there so long, I was going, I'm not going to wait till after the cartoon's finished. I'm going to go down before they've finished. As I should. And I would request Cats every single day. And so I watched Cats every day in the hospital, and then I had a VHS of it. I now have a DVD of it.
Oh my God, that's genuinely awesome.
It's so fun. It's so, so fun.
I think it is just so fun to, like, indulge yourself into, like allowing yourself to like something, even if it's not something that would, I don't know, how other people would probably say, like, oh, you should probably, like, spend your time, like, doing math or something. I don't know. Like, for example, like, I celebrated my birthday this year, and I did it Twilight-themed. And, like, my friends all bought me, like, different Twilight-themed things. And I'm just like, you see, like, they're not useful things, but it's good to have in my life. It just enriches it.
Yes.
The difference between survival and living.
Yeah, and it's like, we want to be thriving, not surviving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it.
And what a way for you to go, okay, my friends see me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They get it.
My friend bought me Twilight bought me, celebrating, I don't know, their 20th year anniversary.
Yeah, wild.
So they released the special edition book for just the first Twilight book. And I was like, I couldn't justify to myself to buy it, so I never did, but I always like looked at it longingly, and my friend just gave me that book, and I was like, I will marry you right now. I will swear fealty.
you have my unwavering loyalty forever. And what a way to be seen, and what a way to go, like, I imagine that was you sharing your special interests, and other people going, hey, we see you and care.
It's actually really interesting how that came about, because I remember loving Twilight as a kid. I probably watched it too young, but there was this phase where people were like, Twilight is the cringiest thing ever. Like, it's horrible. Every girl like watches it, but I'm not like other girls. I don't like pink. I don't like whatever. But then I think, and this was true for like the junior years of high school until the last 2 years, where I was like, you know what? Wait, I don't actually care.
Yeah.
It was a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
But I think slowly embracing these small things, which I personally considered cringe, made me feel better about myself and where I stood in society, I guess.
It's kind of really owning, like, hey, I shouldn't feel shame for what I like.
Yeah.
Something you've created genuine and real connection with it as well. Yes, there will always be people that are going to shame us or put us down for things. But if we're not hurting others and it's safe and not hurting ourselves and we can find community, like, that's, again, that's how we get to that thriving, is having people who actually care and we care about them.
This is where all the enrichment is.
Yeah.
This is where you find the people who are on the same wavelength as you. And you probably find community in the most weirdest places, and not in the way that you'll see in films where like, oh yeah, I make friends at school or at work. That's probably the hardest places to make friends, I think, personally. It's these weird like niche spaces where there's people who like, yes, I also like Cats the Musical, not the movie, you know?
Yeah. And have you found, because, you know, at university, you've got all the clubs and socks. Have you found that a way to make connection, or what are some of the more niche ways that you've found connection?
I think, you know, actually, I struggled a little to make friends in the beginning because at least this was just my insecurity, because going into theater, I knew I looked very different to anyone else who was going to theater. I was like, I just like, I know how it looks. I look very traditional and very covered up and things like that. And I think theater is just a very like generally flamboyant, open and happy time. And it's like, then there's me in the corner. It was really hard to get in connections in the beginning. But once I broke that ice, I found friends in places I never thought I would, you know? So it wasn't necessarily my classmates. I got along with everyone really well, but like it was the, you know, the tech team. I was friends with the staff I ended up working with the Otago Uni and things. And I didn't end up joining the clubs and socks until this year. Like I'm a committee member for the Malaysian Student Association, but I didn't do that when I first got here because I was like, it was just too much too quickly.
Yeah.
I think take your time.
Like, take your time. Find your feet to be able to find feet in other places.
I think the most niche place I found a friend was at the Good Earth Cafe. I just frequented it too much. And now I'm like, I'm kind of friends with some of the staff there.
Great. As you walk in and they go, there'll be a, and they just say your order.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, hey, Asha, the usual. Like,
yeah. You know it. No red carpet today. Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep it on the down low. What can I say? I'm someone of a celebrity myself.
Yeah. I've got my shades on, hat down. I'm trying to go unnoticed today.
Yes.
I've got places to be.
Yeah.
When you're consuming media, though, do you find this allows you to delve into worlds, like Twilight, for example? Yeah. Do you delve into the world of being in Seattle? or do you put it more into a lens of like expanding your own life in the day-to-day?
I think I'd see it in like delving into the world type of way. I think that's the type of, that's how I consume fiction or like entertainment. But I also know that it's got huge drawbacks. Yeah. You have to be really, really careful with the way you do it, because I wasn't always the healthiest with the way I was consuming my media, because, again, high school, genuinely a horrible place, for me at least.
Yeah.
And I didn't want anything to do with my own life. So that's how I got into, like, reading and things like that, because movies were cool and all, but also I can see the screen and I can see what's going on around me. And you can, I don't know, like, some things just aren't selling. Some things aren't believable.
Yeah.
But when I'm reading a book, it's like, oh, like, the words disappear. Suddenly there are mountains and I'm on a quest to slay a dragon.
Yeah.
And that just made me feel like I had a grander purpose in my life. Pathetic sounding. But, like, it sounded like I was, you know, on a journey to do something big. But when I was in high school, I didn't feel like I could do anything. I wasn't, you know, as smart as my other friends. I wasn't sporty, you know, or anything like that. So it was like, how can I be better? But I don't know when it was. I think it was during COVID. I had, like, my rock bottom, and I had to build myself up again in a way that I've never done before. And after that, I was like, oh, okay, this is bad. I need to get out.
Yeah, I need help.
Yeah, I didn't. You know? And I need to rediscover myself without plunging myself into this persona that I've created in the land of, like, books and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yeah, delving in is just so fun though.
Yeah.
Because you get to be the main character.
Yeah.
You know, you get to do these things. Like, what do you mean I get to be a fairy and I get to meet this, like, angel and fall in love with it or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to challenge as well. I don't think pathetic. you know, I think it is those things of when our life and our surroundings feel inherently unsafe or just so unsure. Let's find a space that we feel like we can control and we can understand and we know the rules of.
Right. Yeah.
It's just finding a place that feels safer.
Yeah, you explained it really well, actually.
Cool, sweet. Because I guess as well with the delving, can you picture do you see these things in your mind?
I do.
I am so excited because I cannot.
You can't?
I see nothing.
Really? Wait. So how do you consume media?
I just see, like, script. I don't even see the scripts. I kind of like. My internal dialogue just says the script of things to me.
So it's like an audiobook in your head.
Yeah.
So, like, if you read the word apple, do you see the word apple in your head, or do you see apple? Or nothing?
I see nothing, but I kind of go, okay, I know apples are either red or green. They're kind of,
right,
you know, the size of my fist-ish. The classic graphic of an apple would have the stalk with a leaf coming out.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, how do you process memories?
Poorly. but a very similar thing. So whenever I remember things, it is, you know, I think I can remember places quite well.
Right.
Because I will go, okay, there were two flights of steps. Then I've got to go take two lefts and a right to get somewhere. Or the room was, you know, about this. Like, it's very descriptive, but I can't see it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I often have to, I have to have things written in front of me or draw things out to really understand a concept if it's being explained to me.
So if you've never, like, let's say you didn't know what an apple was
and
you've never seen it or whatever, it's only been described. You wouldn't be able to imagine it in your head.
No, we'd be cooked yet. Yeah, I'd have nothing at all.
That's really interesting. Maybe yeah.
Yeah, so I love the fact that you can, like, really engulf yourself in these worlds, because it enriches those stories and enriches everything that you can connect to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I can understand that.
Sometimes I get so lost in it that I don't realize I'm reading, because I'm like, there's a movie in my head that I'm watching that's like, it's like 3D glasses, but, like, into your skull.
That's sick.
And then I drop my book and then suddenly I'm like, in real life again.
Wow.
Or, like, I'm reading, let's say, like, I'm riding a horse, you know, there's wind in my hair. And then let's say it's a fantasy setting. And then there's a fantasy name that I can't pronounce.
Mm.
The way the vision just stops is like me stumbling off of my horse. There's the tape rewinds and then I'm like reading again and suddenly it's ink on a page. And I'm just like, wait, no, bring me back to the movie.
please. It's so cool.
Thank you.
It's awesome. I would love to be able to experience that just once.
But surely there's some, like, upsides to things, the way that you process memory or, like, take in information that I can't. Like, for example, do you, like, for example, memory, do you taste a memory? Like, do you remember it?
And this is where I really struggle. So if there's a taste or a smell, often I'll go, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. And then it's just trying to pick, like trying to find where it is.
Interesting.
I would love it for it to be like, you know, I feel like in cartoons, it's often going through doors to go into different memories. So I'd love it to be that I could go into a door to find a memory. But often it is, I just can't find where it's from. But it has a familiar feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like right on the tip of my tongue, but not quite there.
Yeah. If only we were that organized, though.
Right?
You know? Like, oh, yeah, so this is my childhood from 1 to 2, and then 1 to 3.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't want to open those doors. And they were the probably the poos and the nappies days, and that's what's covered by that.
Yeah, no. I'm sort of like, my sister has a baby, and she's, and I'm like living with them for a little bit. So I'm like seeing this, baby like grow up a little bit, and she just took her first steps a few days ago.
Exciting.
Which was super exciting, but also like we get to see her cry and like shower and like having bad stomach days, and I'm just like, yo, that was me once upon a time.
Yeah, and not be able to say like, hey, please just rub my thumb, team.
I generally like went to my mom and was just like, why did you have kids? How did you survive?
And more than one.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. My mom had 6 kids.
6?
Yep.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. I haven't heard this in high school.
Yeah, I. We've talked about 2, because anything more stresses me out. But I'd love to delve into more of these chats. But before we do, we'll hear from a message from our sponsor.
Looking for a change in workplace? Or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values, and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
Get recruited, get hired, Platinum Recruitment. thank you, Platinum Recruitment, for sponsoring the Hope Centre podcast. We are still here and we are still ready to learn more and understand. But in terms of memory and processing, it's I really struggle with like the recall of things, especially but often things come quite clear as well. It's confusing.
For me, things are very blurry. I have really bad memory.
Wow.
I can't remember anything. My friends often call me a fish. So.
Yeah,
can't blame them.
Nah. If the shoe fits.
Yeah. Sorry, if the tank fits.
If the tank fits.
Yeah.
And if the water's heated to the tropical temperature.
Yeah. You got it.
But often what we consume media-wise, whether it be fiction or non-fiction, really reflects on how we're feeling or what we're wanting. How do you find what you consume changes depending on what you're feeling?
Ooh, that's really interesting. Mm. I think when I'm feeling upset, I definitely want something that's like not real. So maybe I'd like watch something about mermaids or fairies or something. If I'm just sad or like tired, I don't want something that I'm invested in. So I'll probably like chuck on a movie that I've already seen.
Yeah.
So like maybe like a rom-com like Mark Ruffalo's Just Like Heaven with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'd watch like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something.
Great.
Because it's like, it's just an episodic thing. Yeah. I can make my food while watching it. But if I'm like a little bit more happy and more ease of mind, then I want to look for something that I can like sink my teeth into. So like a drama. But usually it's something like investigative. So like maybe, have you seen Lost in the Stars?
No.
It's like really big on Netflix right now. It's so good. It's a Chinese movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, off topic.
No, we're on.
It's a Chinese movie and this man, he wakes up. His wife has been missing. They're on a honeymoon trip, I think. And then he's been trying to report it. Nobody's believing him or like the police just aren't helping him. One day, a random woman is in his bed next to him and she claims to be his wife. And everyone seems to believe her except for him.
Gosh.
It's really good.
It kind of sounds like Yesterday, where everybody forgets who the Beatles are except one person.
Oh.
And then he starts releasing Beatles music as if it's his own. But it's kind of, again, memories coming up again. Yeah. But just, that would be so scary. Feel like being gaslit the whole time. Of, yeah. Who are you?
You're really like guessing what's going to happen next. There's also this other one. It's a Korean drama called The Glory, and it's this revenge drama where kind of loosely based off of a real bullying case in Korea.
Gosh.
But she got bullied so badly in high school. What I mean is the bullying case is based off of real life, but the revenge thing isn't, I don't think.
Yeah.
But she got bullied so bad, she dedicated the rest of her life to get back at the people who bullied her. And it's good. It's really good. Very dark. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone under 16.
Kind of similar to Death Note?
Death Note, I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't seen it. I've just seen a lot of like classic pop culture memes.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll take a potato chip and eat it.
Eat it. Yeah. No, it's just about a boy, I think he's like 17, and finds a diary, but the diary is owned by a god of death. And if you write someone's name in it and nothing else, after 30 seconds, they'll die of a heart attack.
Yeah.
But you can write in there specifics of how they die and where, when, times. yeah, the one way of him hiding that he is the one doing all these things, he's narrating and he's just writing in one hand, but I was eating potato chip. Like, I need the potato chip to throw off as his guise that he's not actually writing in this book. Great. It's a great name. Do you find there's a difference of you engaging in fiction or nonfiction?
Yeah. I think I struggle a little bit with nonfiction because I think it affects me too much.
Yeah.
I have this problem where I care too much about anything I do, whether I'm like really upset about something and I'm overreacting, or I really love something and I really like hyperfixate. So I don't tend to watch documentaries too much. But when I do, I am always crying at the end of it. Like it's horrible because I really like, maybe they're just doing a really good job at making you invested.
Yeah.
But also I'm weak.
You're strong and comfortable showing your emotions.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's a good that's a good twist on it.
As someone who's a big crier.
but when it comes to nonfiction books, I cannot read because I'm bored.
Yeah.
A lot of the nonfiction books I come across are self-help books. And just personally, that doesn't work for me because a lot of the things they tell me are things that I already know.
Yeah.
It's just things, just because I know it doesn't mean I'm going to apply it to my life. So how are you going to write about it that will convince me? It's just convince me. Convince me to do this, like to exercise every morning.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? So I think it's a waste of money, but I know it works for a lot of people and I'm not dogging that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely don't engage with nonfiction as much as like fiction.
Especially from talking, you seem a very relational, community focused person. And so if it's a self-help, I've got to do that by myself and I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it with people.
Yeah,
and how can, you know, community is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably most of what we find at the Hope Center is people struggling with loneliness and isolation.
Right.
Because it's much harder to do things alone compared to with people.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. Like, I want to watch a movie, but I don't want to watch it alone.
Yeah.
You know? I watched Lost in the Stars with my sister and brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have watched it by myself.
Mm.
Even if it's something I know I would have enjoyed.
Yeah. Something as well, and this is an attention span thing. Do you find it easier to watch movies with people compared to shows? You know, like movies, okay, I can commit to it if I'm with other people compared to if it's by myself. I'd rather just commit to the same amount of time but in 20-minute sections.
Right. I don't know, actually. I haven't really thought about it because I don't watch much shows either.
Mm.
I think my attention span is so bad that I can't even bring other people into it.
Mm.
I'm just like, this show doesn't seem that interesting, or it does seem interesting, but there's too many episodes. I don't think I could handle it.
Yeah.
So I don't even step through the door, let alone bring someone else with me, kind of thing. But I am rewatching Naruto with a summer school friend, and it's taken us 2 years to reach one season.
It's a commitment as well.
It is, yeah.
much better than, well, a much smaller commitment than One Piece.
oh my god.
Still a big commitment.
Have you seen the memes about the pacing of those episodes?
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's been 2019. I was like, cool, I'm going to reclaim my childhood. I'm going to watch all of Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, wow.
Pacing is awful.
Right.
And it's so episodic where I'm just watching the same episode over and over, just insert a different character.
No, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I think it's probably good for kids, though.
100%.
Yeah.
If it's good for kids and watching it once a week.
Yeah.
Going, I'm going to watch all of it.
Yeah,
No.
You just have to go to the highlights, you know?
Yeah.
Like, me and my friend watching Naruto, it was, we just kept, groaning over, the episode's 20 minutes, mm-hmm. but there's 10 minutes worth of flashbacks.
Yeah.
And we just watched the last episode. But we always have to remind ourselves, this comes out every week, maybe every 2 weeks, because they're, drawing it as the story is going on. So we need to keep the kids refreshed on what just happened. Yeah, Sasuke got kidnapped, that sort of thing.
No, it's again, we need to remember it wasn't always written in a binge culture society.
Yeah, and I kind of miss it.
Yeah.
I think we should slow down a little bit.
100%. Slowing down is so important. And on slowing down, I was trying to segue. There's no segue there, my bad. But social media being incredibly accessible as well, and kind of that different form of consuming content. So, a lot of people watch shows on TikTok, for example.
That's true. You can watch movies on there now.
Yeah, wild. And in 15-second increments or one-minute increments. But with social media being so accessible and people can be exposed to lots of distressing things online, what do you do to protect your peace when you're consuming different content?
I think, first off, I know the way that the social media works is you're the product, right? While the app itself is free, they get paid by how long you are looking at the screen.
Yeah.
So they will do whatever they can, no matter what they show you, to keep you looking, whether that's showing you atrocious things or things that are so away from reality that it's laughable. And part of the tactics that they use as well is they don't show the time at the top of your screens. Next thing you know, you've been on Instagram for 4 hours. So one of the things that I've taken to lessen my detachment from reality is I only limit myself, I try to limit myself to 1.5 hours a day on Instagram and YouTube combined.
Yeah.
So there's this parental lock on your phone that you can change in the settings. And it also limits my notifications as well. Mm. Unless I open Instagram, I will not get any notification from there.
Right.
So I usually tell people, if you want to contact me, text me on WhatsApp or on my phone number.
Yeah.
Because I don't open Instagram at all. Because once I'm in it, it's so hard for me to get out.
Mm.
And it was really difficult at first. I kept finding myself, 10 more minutes. Yeah. And that would go for another 2 hours. And then after a few months, it sounds a little bit sad, but I did have an addiction to going on my phone, right? But now it's a lot easier for me to detach. And now my algorithm is so out of sync to what's going on in my head that I don't even want to go on it as much. And that's just to disconnect from that. But when it comes to the content itself, I like to keep up with what's going on around me. And sometimes that can be very difficult because the time of the world right now, there's lots of war. There's genocide going on, right? Free Palestine, by the way, and Lebanon. You're seeing people, discretion is advised, but you see people die right in front of you. And that can be really difficult. So my advice is for people who do want to keep up with the news, but they're finding it difficult to see so much tragedy online, is pace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Take it slow.
Yeah.
If you find it's too much, you can log off for a bit. We're not asking you to be on online all the time and to fight these battles. There's thousands and millions of us, We can take turns, kind of thing. 100%. We'll take the night shift,
We don't all need to. I think that so much pressure we can put on ourselves of seeing so many things that we care about and seeing so many people get hurt with, I want to be doing something about this, but we can't be the one person to solve everything or fix everything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's very hard to find that balance because I think as well, the way that social media, they're trying to show you these things to create this sense of helplessness. I can't do anything. They're also trying to keep you on the app as well.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just try your best to shake off that feeling of helplessness because there are things that you can do to help.
Yeah.
You you share, you comment, you email your representatives,
Sign petitions.
Yeah. Sign petitions, go to protest, that sort of thing. There are things. It doesn't you're not on the front lines.
Yeah.
But also this isn't World War One, right? We are in we are in war right now, but it's in the digital age.
Yeah.
This is all psychological warfare. This is, I think it's pronounced mimetic warfare as well. Like, the, you know, the memes that you see, the war memes you see online. That's actually like real warfare tactics sent out by different governments and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are the frontline soldiers.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. And, you know, stick to your skill set. Don't, I mean, always try to expand your skill set if it's realistic for you. But, yeah, if it's understanding what you can do and what is realistic for you.
Yeah.
No, super important.
Yeah. Balance that out with good stuff as well. Like, you know. Look at some memes, you know, laugh at that video about that cat, you know, and that's fine. No one's going to punish you for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, just find a good balance, I'd say.
Hell yeah. And finding that balance, like how do you balance consuming content for escapism versus connecting with people around you?
That one is something that will be very, very difficult, I think, at least from personal experience.
Yeah.
My suggestion is have a good social circle. Now, let me explain, because not everyone has the privilege of having that, right? What I mean is, what I find from my personal experience is it's hard for me to take care of myself.
Mm.
I don't care about myself as much as I care about other people, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's good to recognize, so I know ways to help myself.
Yeah.
So if you surround yourself with good people, they will help you out just as you help them out. Friendship is a two-way street.
Yeah.
You can't always be the one who's reaching out to them.
Nice.
And they can't be the one who's always reaching out to you. Like, you have to meet in the middle sort of thing.
Mm.
So if I find myself being a little bit too emo, you know, I don't leave the house for long enough, I do get a call from my friend like, hey, I haven't seen you for a long time. Like, do you want to catch up for coffee? And then I realize, oh my God, you're so right. I'm too busy thinking about like assignments or school or whatever to be updating my social life. And then same thing with me. I notice it when my friend isn't at the coffee shop as usual.
Yeah.
I notice it when they're not in class. So if we just check up on each other, then I think that's enough. It's it's a team effort to balance that whole escapism and balancing the responsibilities of reality.
Yeah.
And maybe you're at a point in your life where you don't have those friends yet. And I suppose my advice for you is look at the people around you. And not, this sounds harsh, but maybe cut off isn't the right word, but slowly wean yourself off of the people who are doing you more harm than good.
Yeah. It's always about, how do we serve each other? Not all about serving me, but how do we serve each other? And what I appreciate what you're talking about there as well is I feel like so many times we go like, oh, I haven't seen them, but they'll let me know.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we as you said, it's that two-way street. It's nice to know that people are thinking about you. It's nice to recognize that people might have missed you. And so, don't be scared to reach out. You know, we can hide behind it. Oh, it's not our business. But, you know, we can make it our business. Or we can check if it is our business. And they can always tell us, no, it's not.
Yeah. And it's sometimes it can be a little bit inconveniencing. And that sucks. But what is it? It's like that's what friendship is. You have to be, what is the saying? You have to be the villager if you want to have a village.
Oof, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And like you say, if it isn't your business, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
But you'll know your friend enough to know if they're just lashing out or if this is genuinely a boundary that they're putting down.
Yeah.
It's a rough line to muddle through, but so rewarding at the end. Like, it strengthens your bond to something like steel.
100%. And I think as well, at the end of the day, you're coming from a place of care that if, you know, you have crossed a boundary, it's like, sorry, I care about you. I will step back. Mm-hmm. I'll be here. And I'm sorry for overstepping that, but like I'm doing this, I'm reaching out because I care.
Yes.
Yeah. We are coming to the end of our time.
No.
But before we start to that, we'll hear from another message from our sponsor.
Looking for a change in workplace? Or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
Welcome back to the Hope Centre podcast. I was pressing the off button on the mic instead of the on button and wondering why the light wasn't changing. But we are still here with Asha, And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's been a great chat. And although you say going off topic, I still think on a topic. So even if it wasn't on the original intended topic, I still think we've had fun.
Yes, I had loads of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
No, absolute pleasure. Before we wrap up, do you have any final messages or thoughts that you'd like to share with people who might be struggling?
Oh, I always struggle with this part. Yeah. Like, it's like, how do I condense so many things into so little time?
Yeah.
I'll say pretty much what I've been saying throughout the episode, which is don't let yourself get isolated. There is a community around you. Maybe it's untapped, but there's nothing stopping you from, you know, reaching out. And it is going to be difficult. It's going to be a really tough road ahead. But I trust that there will be a moment where things get up again, even if things are really bad. The way I see things is if things are really hard now, you're at the bottom of the barrel. But if you're rolling down the hill, you will get up again. And yeah, you'll go down again, but you'll also get up again. So if you're having bad time now, then know that good times will come.
That's a great way of explaining things too.
Thanks.
Yeah. And going back to memory, all I thought of was, my year 8 camp was at Camp Columba in Gore, and there was a big hill. And I remember someone jumping in a barrel and being pushed down the hill.
Oh my god!
And so
did they survive?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
They're fine. Maybe they're getting back up now.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, we will start our final five. This is kind of a quick fire-ish.
Okay.
Questions, final five, which will be ending on leaving a question for the next person.
Oh god.
Cool. So. And also for our listeners, and if there are any long-standing listeners, I don't know, the final five is slightly different to what it was before our break. So get ready for a slightly different final five. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think.
How do you solve world hunger?
Oh, my God.
So our first final five, when do you feel most like yourself?
When I'm at home straight after waking up.
Yeah, great. What is one thing you romanticize in everyday life?
Having a boyfriend.
I was going to say Team Jacob, but Team Edward, but Team Taylor Lorna.
I'm kind of Team Bella, just being a vampire by herself.
Yeah, so true. Option number three. What is your favorite way to use a sundae?
Have a warm drink in my hand, reading a book, probably nice. A fanfic.
Great. What would you tell your younger self now?
It gets better. Yeah, life sucks, but it's going to get better.
Yeah. And can you please leave a question for our next guest?
Okay. If you were in a zombie apocalypse, would you rather die by getting bitten by a zombie or would you rather die from starvation?
Do you have an answer off the bat?
I can't say it on air.
I've thought about this every day.
You know, I actually have.
Yeah.
There is an ongoing debate in my house where we vote who would die first in an apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And my brother is very upset at how quickly he dies. And every time he's like, this is why I'll survive an apocalypse, bro. Asha, you'll die so quickly. And I'm like, I never denied that.
Yeah.
I know I will die first.
Yeah.
But you are not surviving either.
Hey, no, you're not much after me.
No. He's very upset. Yeah. But it's great. It's great discussion, trust me.
Yeah. I think... I feel like there's the pain of the zombie bite, but the slow burn of starvation, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
So I think I would go...
I mean, there are other options.
Not in this scenario.
No, not in this scenario.
Yeah, I think I love rules. I'll stick with the rules. I think I'll go zombie bite.
Okay, no, fair enough. I respect that.
Yeah. Because what are some other answers you've come across?
People have said, while they wouldn't die of starvation necessarily, they would purposely seek harm. Like they do it in a thrill seeking way. So if they were choosing to, you know, get bitten by a zombie, they would probably ride a Harley for the first time and then run through, make as much noise as possible and then get swarmed by a horde of zombies.
Yeah.
Because the theory is if you get bitten by a lot of zombies, you get the virus quicker. So you don't have to suffer, but also you have to get bitten loads of times.
Yeah. I like that because, yeah.
Go out in a blaze of fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nah. I'll learn to ride a motorbike just in case there's a zombie apocalypse. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'll know exactly what I'm doing. But no, thank you so much again for coming along.
Thank you for having me. Seriously.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you, Anna, for being here in spirit.
Yeah, thank you, Anna. It was really nice having you, like, in the corner of the room.
Yeah, we've actually got a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, we actually do. She's staring right at me.
Yeah, it's a little bit intimidating. Thank you to ORFM, to Life Matters, and to Platinum Recruitment for sponsoring this podcast. If you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz. Thank you very much, everyone. Ka kite.
Thanks for listening. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
To see our current opening hours, just look up lifematters.org.nz. If you need support outside of these hours, free call or text 1737. If you would like to listen again or hear other episodes, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.